Welcome back to Headline News with Resistance Chicks. We're your hosts, Leah and Michelle. It's a Friday, which means we're going to bring you this week's top news stories, one of which Elon Musk is threatening to sue the Anti-Defamation League. Isn't that their job?
Yeah, that's why he's suing.
To sue?
Yeah, because they're defaming Twitter.
X, Leah.
X.
You mean the platform formerly known as Twitter. I can't even say that. Jeez, I'm really struggling here. Okay, so wait a minute. So Megyn Kelly comes out, says she regrets getting the vaccine.
Yeah, she's worried. She's worried she's going to die early.
Hey, Megyn, there's a lot of doctors on Brighteon.tv that could help you.
Help you detox from
that. Okay, so wait a minute. A doctor is saying that there are no safeguards needed for transgender surgeries for kids.
They're all saying that on the left. Yeah, but then when they come out and say, hey, kids just know what they need for their bodies.
There's a safeguard.
Why not drink alcohol? Why not get tattoos?
There's a safeguard needed for eating a lollipop. I mean, there's a safeguard for everything.
Dogs,
Don't tell me. Come on, exactly. Hot dogs are a choking hazard. All right, we've got Peter Navarro found guilty by the D.C. jury, predicts that Trump will win 2024. We've got that and so much more coming up right after these messages. Don't go anywhere. We're excited to be here. Hope you are, too.
Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. BrighteonStore.com.
With so much of the world's current food supply consisting of dirty, contaminated, genetically modified foods that may have been grown using herbicides and pesticides, increased scrutiny over what you put in your body is of the utmost importance. Even supposedly organic foods found on most grocery store shelves may contain toxic substances, chemicals, and other additives that can be harmful to your health. That's why here at BrighteonStore.com, we subject all our in-house products to extensive lab testing for glyphosate, heavy metals, and microbiology using our state-of-the-art spectrometry equipment to ensure the highest quality of cleanliness and purity. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
So when the White House asked Facebook to censor Tucker Carlson, Facebook responded by saying, well, we can't exactly take down his posts and his video because he's speaking fact. But what we can do is we can reduce his reach for you.
Right. This is called shadow banning.
I guess that's the nice way to put it. This is called the government. This is called tyranny.
I meant the actual act. Yes. No, the government reaching into Facebook to censor people is called tyranny. It is
on
the
things
direct
that are factual.
Right. Well, even if it wasn't factual, have you seen the National Enquirer and Godzilla pictures? You have the right. Right. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. Your First Amendment rights, they literally take them and they stomp on them.
Yeah,
and then they laugh
strange.
At you.
You're allowed to talk about aliens, though, and you're kind of allowed to talk about Area 51. I think I haven't actually seen any Facebook fact checks on the moon landing. So what does that mean?
I don't know. That's a good question.
All right. Well, if they haven't fact checked it, if somebody comes out and says we didn't land on the moon, they don't fact check it. Well, Facebook, I guess this is truthful. All right. So even Twitter has this freedom of I'm going to put a caveat on this particular clip.
I have no idea.
Because Joe Rogan and Tulsi are coming in saying, what if Elon hadn't bought Twitter? Because right now on Twitter, you are allowed to say things. You're allowed to say everything. Okay. Doesn't mean that people are going to see it. But if people go to your page, they'll let you. But before, they would ban you for saying it.
Sure.
So I guess that's one step in the right direction. Now, Elon's upset because
Is it a step in the right direction? Because I would rather just know. Okay, you don't want me on the platform. You're not going to let people hear what I have to say. Just kick me off versus banning me and not letting anybody see what I have to say and I don't even know.
I think Twitter is the release valve. I mean, having the doctors back on Twitter to be able to say certain things, I think people were going literally insane. So I would say it is a step in, it is a step in the right direction, being able to say what we need to say. Dr. Kenpenny can say what she needs to say. There are certain people that aren't back on Twitter, but because of the Twitter files, we know for a fact. So you have the information for $44 billion, basically, on what the left was, and the basically Democrats and the powers that be, the FBI, the CIA, the deep state, were doing to censor Americans. So I'm gonna play this clip, and I want to acknowledge that there is a shift happening, but unfortunately within Twitter, and I am going to talk about this as well, there are gatekeepers even within Twitter.
Yeah.
And so there are certain things you can't technically say on Twitter, and I'm still not back on Twitter.
Although you did change your name to Resistance Chicks, so they can find you there.
You can find us on Resistance Chicks, and you're allowed to have the whole, I even am allowed to have the K. So before we were Resistance Chicks, because there were only so many letters, so we were Resistance Chicks, just C.
Right. So but you didn't change your at.
No, it's at Leah Svensson. Right. Okay. All right, let's roll this clip.
Imagine where we would be right now if Elon didn't buy Twitter.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Thank God.
None of the Twitter files would have been exposed.
No, we would not have known. Yep. And he just made a tweet yesterday about Facebook. See if you can find the Facebook tweet where he's talking about Facebook censoring people for ad revenue, even and limiting their posts, even if what they're saying is true.
Yeah.
Which is where it gets really creepy.
Yeah.
You know, because it's one of the things that happened with Tucker Carlson. They demoted his video. So it was seen by approximately 50% less people. They limited the reach.
Mm.
And what he was saying was absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing he was saying is inaccurate.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a note from the federal government that you need to do something about this to take it down. They said, we can't take it down.
Yeah.
Because it's true.
Yeah.
They said, well, you need to demote it. Here it is. The Facebook caved to far left pressure groups and now allows them to silently dictate policy in exchange for ad money.
I think the big news that people should take away from what you just said, Joe, is the excuse that these corporations always give is like, hey, we're private companies. We can do whatever we want. But the fact that we are now seeing more and more evidence that they are censoring people at the direction of people in the White House and people in the federal government or the FBI or other law enforcement agencies is the most chilling violation of our First Amendment rights.
You know, and that's the rub of it. At first, it was just, oh, it's their platform and they can choose if they want to, you know, restrict what is shown on their platform. But now we are seeing that even that, and that's a wrong statement, by the way. We've talked about that ad nauseum. We're seeing the government literally is pulling the trigger on this stuff.
Well, and they have been since 2016. Absolutely. It's one of those things where you know that you're right and you don't know what to do about it. And so we kind of always feel like we're in a pickle. And I think that if in the beginning the truth about the vaccine was allowed to be out there, a lot of people like a Megyn Kelly would not have gotten it. Let's go ahead and roll this clip.
I regret getting the vaccine, even though I'm a 52-year-old woman, because I don't think I needed it. I think I would have been fine. I'd got COVID many times, and it was well past when the vaccine was doing what it was supposed to be doing. And then for the first time, I tested positive for an autoimmune issue at my annual physical. And I went to the best rheumatologist in New York, and I asked her, do you think this could have to do with the fact that I got the damn booster and then got COVID within 3 weeks? And she said, yes, yes. I wasn't the only one she'd seen that way.
So wait a minute. So she got COVID 3 weeks after she got the booster. Sorry for the curse word there. And so it's essentially, Megyn Kelly is still not getting it. Okay. Because she's saying that she doesn't think that she needed it. First of all, it's killing people. No one needs it. Like anyone needs the COVID vaccine like they need a bullet to the brain. And I can say that on the Brighteon Network. Thank you. But then she says, I got COVID 3 weeks after I got the vaccine. And
booster.
The booster.
The
do you think
one.
It could have anything to do with this autoimmune disease or disorder that I now have? And she says, absolutely. And it's almost like she's still saying, I got COVID and the vaccine or the booster, it was the bad timing. No, you probably got COVID from the booster.
Mm-hmm.
So even now, Megyn Kelly isn't getting it.
Well, we do know that if she got the 1-2 punch, Yeah. And she supposedly got COVID. Mm-hmm. What was happening is that the reason the Delta was so deadly.
Yeah.
Is because of the vaccine.
Exactly.
And so this is something that we really have to unwind and unpack for people, because people were not dying in large numbers until the Delta.
Right.
Everybody that I've talked to mm-hmm. was in the hospital on the ventilator because of the Delta.
Right.
Not because of anything else. It was only after the vaccines rolled out. Okay. Right. And we Ron Johnson said, look at these numbers. We know that the vaccines started to roll out slowly in January and February of 2021.
Right.
And then so people were getting their vaccines and they were getting their boosters. And so basically they were starting to get them around March and April.
Mm-hmm.
Within weeks, there was this outbreak in June in the southern part of the nation, mostly in Florida, probably because a majority of elderly people live in Florida right. and they're vaccinated and boosted.
Yeah.
Right. So they start to become.
Because Trump told them all to get the vaccine.
So they start to become these vectors, because we know if you've got the spike protein, you yeah. can shed it.
Yeah.
So they're shedding the actual virus, whatever this is made in lab, whatever we want to call it. They're shedding the venom. They're shedding it. Okay. And it's easy for me to understand, because people, you get when you, like a lot of times when you get a vaccine, like if you get a, you know, chickenpox vaccine or something, you can end up with a few chickenpox because mm-hmm. the virus is in your body.
Yeah, exactly.
And the thing with this mRNA is it's changing your DNA, okay? And you've got this overload of spike protein. And so in your body is trying to fight off what you've given it with the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And then you are spreading this to other people in a more potent, more violent form. And I believe that the vaccine was actually formulated to do this. And then our bodies, after it went through, have now fought it to the point where it's now more like a common cold.
Yeah.
Because your bodies will fight it off. We saw that with the first round of COVID, so many people said, I think I had it, I think I had it, I think I had it, I think I had it. But they lived.
Right.
And very few people went to the hospital with it.
Right.
Right. And the hospitals weren't acting like it was that big of a deal either. Right. Okay. So this is there. And in addition, there was treatments
mm-hmm.
and Pierre Corey and the FLCC and the fight against people for getting treatment was insane. And then telling people to not even try an antibiotic, you know, they try antibiotic for a splinter.
It's true.
You know, yeah. you got a little infection in your eye. Well, or your eye's itchy. Let's try some antibiotics.
They've been trying to get less in that because
but
of creating
really
superbugs.
But they do go to antibiotics. That's your right. first line of defense. And they wouldn't even try it. They wouldn't even try it. Oh, it's a virus. We're not even trying an antibiotic on it. Well, guess what? There was a bacterial component to this,
mm-hmm.
and especially bacterial pneumonia and the breathing. And on top of that, we find out that doxycycline and other antibiotics are actually what? Anti-inflammatories.
Exactly.
Okay. And so we actually have to reformulate in our brain the using of antibiotics, because none of us really want to use them. But in this case, when you're dealing with a new virus, then you start hitting things. You kind of like, every person is a trial, right? Mm. And you're like, well, let's try A, B, C, or D that maybe has worked in the past on certain things. And you try those things that you know don't really have side effects. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, hey, people get
How about ivermectin? It's been used for years without side effects. Hydroxychloroquine literally has zero side effects.
Exactly.
And they've been using it for decades.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so I want to encourage you guys, because everybody is getting this phlegmy thing right now. Okay.
Can I tell them what we're doing?
We've taken prophylactically things,
yeah.
Ivermectin. And yeah. We have, because we have frontline doctors, because we have doctors on hand.
Yeah.
And you guys should call like Dr. Syed Haider, my go-to doc.
Yeah.
And get yourself to have these things to have on hand beforehand.
Like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine.
And
now we've entered into cold season, which is,
it wouldn't hurt if you're going to go into a large group of people to take some ivermectin or take some hydroxychloroquine.
That's
I'm not your doctor,
do.
But
that's what we do. Right.
And that's what the doctors are telling people to do and encouraging people to do. And that's what this prophylactic
hydroxychloroquine, we're also doing elderberry syrup tincture and other things that are also immune system builders and whatnot.
We'll start back up on that because we haven't been using elderberry. Right.
But I'm just saying that that's what, those are the things that we use.
Yeah.
We do more than just ivermectin. Prior to ivermectin, we were doing the old fashioned.
We take vitamin D,
zinc,
vitamin C,
vitamin D,
and quercetin.
Echinacea, you know, the whole nine yards.
Yeah. So I want to encourage you guys, don't be afraid. And don't be afraid to take some Mucinex with this one.
And don't be afraid to, so go to Leah's, go to resistancechicks.com and put the word bug in the search bar and read Leah's two articles, what to do if your family gets the bug and what to do before you get the bug. And those are really great places to start. One of the things that we use is a nebulizer, which we did not do that before. So if we're around a big crowd of people and they may have been sick, then we're going to come home and we're going to use the peroxide and we're going to nebulize and kind of clean out that airway system, because we do know that what happens is these viruses get into your nasal passages and into your throat, and then that's where they seed into the...
Yeah, if I'm going to go around a large group of people throughout the winter, I'll probably take my nasal spray, and you can do three different kinds of nasal sprays. And you can make them yourself, too, as well. You can do the iodine nasal sprays, and the recipes for that are on the Frontline Doctor, or the FLCCC, the Frontline Critical Care.
Right.
They're in my blog.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay.
All of it.
So you can make those, or you can do a colloidal silver nasal spray.
Right.
But don't do both of them because they react. Mm-hmm. Iodine and colloidal silver.
Guys,
react.
We have spent 2 years, two solid years on this. We're not doctors, but it's like this has been our experience.
This is what they're telling us to do. And also, there's a certain kind, you have to look it up in my blog, a certain kind of mouthwash to gargle with to kill. And
exactly.
You can actually,
like I said, that's where it seeps. Because they would tell you to drink water. If you're going to be around people, at least drink water so that you're like at least getting it down into the stomach acid.
And if you're not doing, it's like, you know, in Listerine or whatever. But you can also gargle with a colloidal silver, or gargle with a couple drops of iodine, or gargle with a couple drops of food grade peroxide. And just, you're cleaning things out. You're making sure that bacteria and viruses don't have a place.
These things just make sense.
Yeah, place to stay.
They just make sense.
Right, okay. So that, to take the fear out of the congestion and everything that people are getting right now. All right, so speaking of doctors getting it wrong, we've done 3 episodes on our Revelation Red Pill Wednesdays. We did Margaret Sanger and eugenics, population control. We did Alfred Kinsey twice. Do not ever just trust the science. Don't just trust doctors.
Because eugenics was a nationwide science that spread across the world.
Yeah, we had
you kill the least fit.
Yeah.
And you encourage the breeding of the most fit.
Yeah.
That's eugenics.
That's eugenics, basically. And you sterilize, basically.
And you sterilize.
You sterilize.
Yeah.
You abort.
Right.
Those who would...
Well, in Nazi Germany, they were literally killing them.
Yeah. Eugenics leads to actual murder of the disabled because you don't want them to procreate, and they're a drain on society. And that was based in the American eugenics.
So they literally put Planned Parenthood in poor neighborhoods because they don't want the poor to breed.
Because they don't want them to have to be a ward of the state, basically.
Right.
All right. So I want to play this clip for you. Now, this is a doctor. This is science saying that we just trust children to tell us what gender they are.
Okay, let's listen to this.
In terms of the concern that, but when they're young, they don't know. And you should wait. We wait with kids on everything else. We don't like them make decisions about where they're going to go to college, let alone what their identity is. Response.
My response is that kids know their genders unequivocally. Cisgender kids know their genders, and transgender kids know their genders, and there shouldn't be really a difference between them. Think about how sure you felt of your gender from some of your earliest childhood memories. It's no different. The confusion comes from external factors in our society that impose cisgender at normativity on young people.
What do you say to parents who say, he'll figure it out, she'll figure it out, this is just a phase? What do you say?
That young people do know who they are. And we say, one thing that I like to say is, what does it cost you to just affirm who they say they are?
So, right, the discussion gets more complicated when it's affirm plus let them take this hormone blocker or stall puberty, or and they want to have a top surgery or a bottom surgery. That becomes more complicated for the parent, though, right? Because it has more implications for the kid's health. A lot of it's unknown about what it would mean.
I wouldn't say that a lot of it is unknown. You know, we are in a very exciting phase in gender-affirming care where we're learning more and more all the time. It also happens to be a time when that care is sought to be banned in various states throughout the country. Right. And people are trying to ban it on the basis that we don't have enough information, supposedly, and that feels deeply hypocritical. Why introduce regulations and rules that limit our ability to provide care on the basis that maybe there are unknowns? It just seems like there's something missing there.
Phil said do no harm, which means do nothing.
Do nothing is doing harm.
I want to punch that lady in the face, but I would never. So here's the deal. She's a monster.
Mm-hmm.
She's a monster,
yeah,
masquerading as someone advocating for children when you are actually butchering. You're advocating for the butchering of children, not just their bodies, but their minds.
No, you're absolutely right. And this is one of those very, very, very dangerous repercussions that came out of Alfred Kinsey's fake studies of science. So he brought on some child molesters who timed the molesting of children. And then, did you know that our entire penal code, how we punish criminals,
pedophiles specifically?
Well, 52 laws relating to everything, not just pedophiles, cohabitation, rape, adultery, yeah. 52 laws on the penal code were changed because
like
of Alfred Kinsey.
Parking laws.
Okay.
That's
yeah.
what I meant.
Moral laws.
Yeah, thank you. That's
moral
good.
Laws. Moral laws. 52 laws. Moral laws were changed as a result of the study showing that, supposedly, that people are just rampantly sex addicts and nobody can stay married and nobody can stay faithful and everybody's having abortions and men are mostly homosexual on a scale of 1 to 7, 6 out of 7 men all have some sort of homosexual tendencies. That it's just, and children are sexual from birth. And why do they say children are sexual from birth? Because supposedly a pedophile timed these children on the different gratifications that these children had with the manual stimulation of adults. Now,
from adults.
They advocated for adult children relationships. When you have that woman on stage talking about cutting off a boy's penis or mutilating a little girl's body parts, then she is beyond the scale of just a sexual pedophile. They are now cutting children's body parts off. And just as Alfred Kinsey had really brainwashed society to take it as it's just science. And we don't want to talk about these pedophiles. We don't want to, you know, turn them over to the state because it's science. You would never do that. And right now we see this all in the name of science. And so I would say that the devil's main line is trust the science,
mm-hmm.
because he is behind all of this science.
Right. I would say trust satanic. God and his creation.
And that's what we want to say to all these children. You are created in the image of God. If you guys want a way to talk to kids who are questioning their whatever because they're told to, this is definitely
this is grooming. Okay, so what
child
she said two things
sexual
there.
Grooming, but it's violent grooming.
She said that children know who they are. And she said a complete opposite, but it's true. If it weren't for this stuff that's being introduced to them, they would not be questioning their gender. She's saying that, I don't even want to call it cisgender. It's just the normal two genders. God's science, the real science, is groomed into children. No, it's called nature. Mm-hmm. And without anyone, here's the question. How is it that society has existed for so long and people are by and large very happy for thousands of years,
well,
without
just go
this
to Africa.
Nonsense.
Just go to Africa. Nobody knows what a transgender is.
And they aren't.
Nobody.
Not just Africa. Our friend Corey Gray lives in Nicaragua. He said this nonsense doesn't exist. There aren't even homosexuals in his town.
In his state, in his whole country.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I am so glad that we can say this on the Brighteon Store.
Me too.
Network.
I love the Brighteon Network. go to the Brighteon store, brighteonstore.com, and use promo code CHICKS, and you will be supporting this free movement of speech from our studio to the Brighteon studio right into your home so that you can listen to truth unhindered. So how do you support that? You go to the brighteonstore.com, you use promo code CHICKS, and you get amazing products that will keep yourself and your family healthy. That's what you do. That's how we fight this fight. Christmas is coming up.
Get yourself the colloidal spray. Get yourself some iodine. Get yourself some vitamin B12. Get yourself some vitamin C. Get yourself Himalayan
salt. They probably even have on there. I don't know. Check it out. Go and search for anything. Mike says they've got it all. All right. We've got so much more than this coming up right after these messages. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Mike Adams here with an operator, a deployment leader on the Texas southern border who's been using these satellite-based bivy sticks for very effective communications. And he's here just give us a few words about how these bivy sticks are operating, how it's helping he and his team members. And remember, these are available through the satellite phone store, sat123.com. It's satellite-based text messaging. Works when no cell towers work or aren't reachable.
We use these to communicate GPS cords to when we are seeing drug runners or people carrying stuff. We've had, you know, bust up to 13,600 pounds worth of marijuana and fentanyl that we have been on operations with in conjunction with federal agents and supporting them in their operations.
So they are pro-America and pro-humanitarian in helping to keep our country and our community safe. Everybody, God bless America. Take care.
Freedom of speech is a basic human right that has been hard won and granted to all law-abiding Americans. As such, we should not take our freedom of speech and expression for granted. This is more important now than ever before, since world governments and the mainstream media often try to suppress those whose opinions differ from the so-called official narrative. Here at BrighteonStore.com, we are dedicated to fighting for every American's right to speak their mind without the fear of censorship or suppression. That's why every purchase you make at BrighteonStore.com supports our pro-liberty video sharing platform, Brighteon.com, so we can keep bringing you all the latest unrestricted videos mainstream media doesn't want you to see. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
Okay, so Leah, you all can say hi. This is Reggie. He's a little antsy, so he's joining the program so that he can sit with me. Here, I want to show you all his adorable. This is, you can't get this kind of stuff anywhere else. This is, he doesn't want to show his little underbite, but it's just so cute.
There he is.
That's a Reggie. That's a good buddy. Okay, so for those of you that don't know, Leah and I own a pet care business. So there's always a plethora of dogs. You just don't normally get to see them on camera. But Reggie's had a big day. And so he's going to just sit right here. It's like, it's take your doggy to work day.
It is
what it is. Okay. So Leah, we are seeing these massive, sentences coming down in the cases of all these January 6th
people.
Yeah.
I guess three of the Proud Boys were moved to 5 a.m. this morning and they don't know where they were moved to. You know, that one got 17 years, for moving a fence. It's absolutely crazy. But we, in Fulton County, Jim Jordan is requesting that this case to get shut down.
You mean the Trump case?
The Trump case in Georgia. And the prosecutor has said, you know, you're interfering and you have federal responsibility, this is a state responsibility. He said, you're wanting the trial to start 4 days before Super Tuesday. Come on. You're doing this. And he said, this is political. This is election interference.
Exactly.
At the absolute highest level.
100%.
So,
because there's a lot of time between now and then. They could make an exception. They could push it forward. It could happen, you know, next week.
So the Fulton County grand jury has gone insane. I don't know if you guys saw the clip, but I'm sorry, I don't have it up, of the young girl who is the jury foreman. She looks like she's like 10 and she's laughing and she's so excited because she wants to invite Donald Trump. And they're all so excited because they feel that they are there to stop Donald Trump. It has nothing to do with justice.
Clearly there's a demonic stronghold.
Let me explain something to you about the grand jury. The prosecutors sit the grand jury. This is not, the defense doesn't get to pick the people on the jury. This is not a jury of your peers when it comes to the grand jury. Okay? The prosecutor picks people, handpicks people who are going to be radically crazy in their favor.
How is this even
insane?
Like,
okay?
How is this legal?
That's why they say you can indict a ham sandwich.
Right.
And then when you go to seat the jury, both sides get to pick the jury, right? Mm-hmm. And you can throw people out for bias and things like that. So
that poor ham
you
sandwich.
Know, I'm sure that they already have those jury duty cards already stacked.
Oh, you know,
to be
they
all
do.
Democrats.
Yeah.
Right.
And Fulton County is very good at rigging things like
that.
They
rig everything. Yeah. So Fulton County grand jury has gone insane. Get this. They voted to indict Lindsey Graham. Okay. Now, which is very funny to me because I think that they went too far with that one because he's kind of in on it with them.
Mm-hmm.
So Lindsey Graham, Michael Flynn, David Perdue, and Kelly Loeffler. With respect to the national effort to overturn the 2020 presidential election. That is what they have indicted them for.
Right.
With a national effort to overturn the 2020 election. This is insane. So Perdue and Loeffler and many others would have faced RICO charges. Now, what they wanted to do was actually try them all based on the RICO charges that they use for the mafia when they work together criminal things. So you've got Rudy Giuliani, John Eastman, Donald Trump, Jenna Ellis, Mark Meadows, Lynn Wood, Lindsey Graham, Sidney Powell, Michael Flynn, David Perdue, Kelly Loeffler. I think Boris Epstein. They've got 22, okay. With respect to the national effort to overturn the 2020 presidential election focused on the efforts in Georgia, Arizona, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, the District of Columbia, the grand jury recommends a district attorney seek indictments for the following persons. One of the dissenting jurors voting against recommending seeking indictments of former Senators Perdue and Loeffler on a RICO claim believes that their statements following the November 2020 election, while pandering to their political base, do not give rise to their being guilty of a criminal conspiracy. So what they're saying is there was a criminal conspiracy by these people.
Like the mob.
To overturn the election. That is criminal. And I want to know what...
Evidence?
What is there a law on overturning... Like what... I've heard rape, murder, theft of the first degree, like overturning an election. I don't think that's in the legal code somewhere. I don't think that's right. Legalese. That's not legal speech. That is political speech designed for the everyday man because they know they're not going to get this case won in a court in Georgia. And it certainly will not be won at a Supreme Court in Georgia. And it certainly is going to be thrown out. Now, they're saying that some of the charges on the Florida case with the classified documents, whatever. And all of this is designed to just be a distraction for all of us. I mean, for real, it's designed to be a distraction for all of us. But I want to play for you, Peter Navarro, in a separate case, was found guilty by a jury in D.C. And I want you to hear what he had to say today.
I have to lay this out for you. I was not tried for contempt of Congress today. That's not what the trial was about. If any of you sat in the trial, you saw the opening argument. You saw the opening argument of John Crabb, the attorney for the prosecution. He didn't argue. He didn't argue the case on contempt. He said that I was responsible for the J6 insurrection, which is totally, totally without fact. Without fact. Without fact. And he did it in his clothes. The judge called him on it, but it still stood. I am not here convicted because of contempt of Congress. I'm here because of association with J6. That's just wrong.
That will come along.
That's
later.
Just wrong.
You will be
and the issue here, stepping back again. It's not about J6. It's about the constitutional separation of powers between the legislative and the executive branch. The Department of Justice itself says you can't do what the legislative branch has done to me, yet they were the ones prosecuting. That's just wrong. I'll take a few questions here if you want.
You U.S.
Mr. Navarro, have you been in touch with former President Trump, and has he offered to help out with your legal fees?
President Trump has been a rock in terms of assistance. We talk when we need to talk. He will win the president's race in 2024 in November. You know why? Because the people are tired of Joe Biden weaponizing courts like this and the Department of Justice. They are tired of an economy that's going into the friggin' tank.
So Peter Navarro was found guilty of two counts of contempt of Congress by a Washington, D.C. jury on Thursday, having failed to comply with a partisan subpoena issued by the House Democrats as part of their investigation January 6 protest. He just didn't comply. Each count carries a minimum of 30 days and a maximum of 1 year in prison, as well as a maximum fine of $100,000. He says, I have been stripped of virtually every defense by the court, and yet there is some defense left. And the reality here is the government has not proved his case. Please understand that the Biden weaponized Department of Justice is the biggest law firm in the world, and that's what I'm fighting against. Navarro's legal team argued that federal prosecutors could not conclusively show that he willfully refused to comply with the congressional subpoena. In his closing remarks, Stanley Woodward, Navarro's attorney, told jurors the government provided no evidence about this. Do we know that his failure to comply beyond a reasonable doubt was not the result of inadvertence, accident, or mistake? The Select Committee on the January 6th attack was formed. We know about this. And they wanted to get a hold of everybody's text messages and their emails and to humiliate them. Now, remember, in 2012, Congress held Obama Attorney General Eric Holder in contempt for failing to comply with the subpoena, and the media dismissed it as political theater, and no prosecution followed at all.
Wow.
Eric Holder didn't go to jail, and Congress held him in contempt for not testifying. That was the whole point. Peter Navarro didn't testify to their sham trial where they had no Republicans. The only two Republicans that Nancy Pelosi would allow on that committee were Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, who absolutely hated Trump and were Democrats. Guys, we don't live in a regular world. This is not a regular world. This is the Democrats in the deep state will do everything they can to destroy you and me.
Yeah.
And they're using Donald Trump as the fall guy. They're trying to break our spirits. All right. They're trying to destroy us. And we just have to say no and stand up against it.
No,
no, no. We're not going to let it happen. We're going to fight back with the power of God. Now, speaking of fighting back, Elon Musk has, when he bought Twitter, he bought it for what? $44 billion. Crazy amount of money. Stupid money. Money that does not exist. Okay. A billion is 1,000 million. Like, no, you didn't. No. 44,000 million is not how much Twitter is worth.
Right.
Okay. Well, immediately, before Elon even did any changes, the Anti-Defamation League, which was set up to actually stop the persecution of Jews, went after Twitter and immediately started to hammer advertisers and tell them not to advertise on Twitter. And that's why he had to come up with this $8 a month plan or whatever. And I would have paid it if you gave me my resistance channels back or my whatever with the followers there who probably, I don't even have followers probably anymore because they're probably all off. All the people that follow me probably are off too.
Yeah.
But with this particular move here, the ADL is saying that they're allowing these white supremacists and Nazis on Twitter. Well, Elon says, no, you're defaming me.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to sue you for defamation.
Right, so let's
roll this.
The ADL, our Center for Technology and Society, works actively with all the kind of companies of Silicon Valley, from Apple to Zoom, if you will, from Amazon to Microsoft to Meta, and indeed to Twitter. We've dealt with them for years, helping them tackle the challenges of hate speech on their service. We point things out, we share information, but what we've said again and again and again, and I've had the privilege of speaking directly to Elon a few times, the reason why we are so concerned is because we think Twitter is such a consequential service, and again, allowing people who created the toxicity on the platform that led to real-world violence. Keep in mind that the conspiracy theories that dominated on Twitter for so long exploded in places like Pittsburgh, Poway, El Paso, and of course, ultimately in Washington, D.C. on January the 6th. So what I would say very clearly is that to you, as I've told Elon Musk, as I've told others, we need these companies to engage constructively, smartly, use their innovation to tackle hate speech. I see that chart you put up. That contradicts what we're seeing at ADL. We've seen anti-Semitic speech stay up there longer than ever before. We've been, you know, indicating when we've seen toxic content, it's not coming down nearly as quickly as in the past. And considering that the human resources have been massively depleted at the company, that would seem to figure and loom large as to why it's happening today. Look, at the end of the day, Katie, ADL, and I think so many of us want Twitter to work for all of its users, for journalists like yourself, for watchdogs like my organization, for the whole country. But tackling hate speech needs to be all of our commitment, because freedom of speech isn't the freedom to slander people, Katie, right? Freedom of expression shouldn't be the freedom to incite violence. That shouldn't be okay no matter who's running the company.
I'm an Orthodox Jewish rabbi, and what is happening right now with the ADL and Elon Musk, if you're following it on social media, it's absolutely infuriating me. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, take a minute and listen up. The ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, was founded over 100 years ago by B'nai B'rith, a major Jewish organization. The purpose of the ADL was to fight anti-Semitism. But ever since former senior advisor to Barack Obama, Jonathan Greenblatt, took over the ADL in 2015, he has turned it into an arm of the extreme progressive left, leading the way in the silencing of conservative voices. Greenblatt even brags openly that he works closely with major social media companies to censor and ban influencers who are opposed to the extreme left-wing agenda. Nothing to do with anti-Semitism. Now, according to Elon Musk, ever since he bought Twitter and brought more freedom of speech, the ADL has been pressuring advertisers to boycott the platform. And remember, he's doing all of this in the name of the Jewish people, in the name of Judaism. And now, just a couple days ago, Greenblatt tweeted out that he has been meeting with the new leadership of Twitter to pressure them, basically, to bring back more censorship of conservative voices. As Elon Musk himself put it yesterday, the ADL under Greenblatt now ironically enables more anti-Semitism than it prevents by turning so many people against us. The ADL is not promoting Jewish values. Join me in saying it loud and clear. Stop the ADL.
You know, this idea that inciting violence and hate speech are not like protected under the First Amendment. First of all, they are actually. And number two, this idea that when conservatives like ourselves speak out on issues, that we are inciting people to do something violent about.
Well, what is
that,
it?
Why is, what I'm saying is, what are you inciting?
Mean?
Are you inciting someone?
What does inciting to violence mean? And what does hate speech mean? We have to have a definition.
And are you inciting someone to violence just because you say, like, Leah, I can tell you that, you know, the neighbors did something that I didn't like. Is that, or that you might not like? Is that going to incite you to then
no,
be violent against them?
And we have to have clear definitions. Clear definitions, incitement to violence is, hey, everybody go downtown and
start burning buildings.
That
like
is not protected.
BLM.
That's not protected speech. You're encouraging people to commit a crime.
But in their opinion, if we say something that is fervently going to make someone upset, that is inciting violence.
And there's a lot of people that hate Donald Trump. Is that hate speech?
Right.
What is hate speech? Anybody in a protected class, though, like, if you say things against women,
right,
is that hate speech?
Does anybody remember what D.C. looked like at the inauguration in 2017?
Yeah. All right. So I don't know if you guys saw the kind of weird looking Nazi guys who were really weird Nazis in Florida a couple weeks ago. But the ADL is very silent on the Nazis in the Ukraine. Literal Nazis who hate Jewish people, who have swastikas,
who kind of want to revive the Third Reich or whatever. And the ADL is silent against on everybody who's a real Nazi left. Like, Ukraine has real Nazis,
right?
And they're silent on that. It's a very strange world that we live in. Another kind of chilling piece of legislation that is being introduced is California's content moderation legislation, as Forbes calls it. It's a draconian censorship bill, AB 587. It requires social media companies to give the California Attorney General's office regular reports on disinformation, misinformation, extremism, radicalization, and hate speech. The bill also allows the state to impose fines if companies do not comply with these reporting regulations. And so guess what? Elon Musk is suing California for that.
Wow.
So I'm hoping that he actually gets somewhere and wins. All right. So I do have this week a best of Biden video.
Awesome.
But it's very strange. So we've got Biden. He's commenting on the Maui wildfires. He's commenting on the hurricanes in Florida. He blames them both on climate change. And then he's asked, why haven't you visited East Palestine, Ohio? You said you would. And he said, I've been busy and now I have to go to India.
Hmm.
So we actually have a clip of him in India.
Okay.
All right. Let's see this week's best of Biden.
I don't think anybody can deny the impact of the climate crisis anymore. Just look around. Historic floods. I mean, historic floods. More intense droughts. Extreme heat, significant wildfires have caused significant damage like we've never seen before, not only throughout the Hawaiian Islands in the United States, but in Canada and other parts of the world. We've never seen this much fire. And while we're dealing with this latest extreme weather event, I remain laser focused on recovering and rebuilding efforts in Maui. We were out there and many of you were there as well. It's devastating what happened there. When I took office, I directed my team to raise our game and how we lead and coordinate our responses to natural disasters. And because I've been around a while and I've known how these function, to ensure we met people where they are, when they need our help the most. Because of the devastation of wildfires from California, New Mexico, Oregon, Washington State, Idaho, Louisiana, we've learned a heck of a lot. A lot of damage in the meantime, but we've learned a heck of a lot. And we're putting the lessons we've learned to work. I didn't know anything like that, but lightning struck my house. We had to be out of that house for about 7 months while it was repaired because so much damage was done to the house and half the house almost collapsed.
You said in March that you would go to East Palestine, Ohio. You came here. How come you haven't gone to East Palestine yet?
Well, I haven't had the occasion to go to East Palestine. There's a lot going on here, and I just haven't been able to break. I was thinking whether I'd go to East Palestine this week, but I then was reminded I've got to go literally around the world. I'm going from Washington to India to Vietnam and so it's going to be a while. But we're making sure that East Palestine has what they need materially in order to deal with their problems.
Why did he go to India?
President. I don't know.
He's president. He went to India because he's president.
Yeah.
Oh my. I literally don't even have words for that.
He did not. Yeah, He's
not going world to traveler. East Palestine.
It's either going to be a while since he sees, you know, it happened a while ago, East Palestine.
Exactly. It's going to be a while, meaning never.
Never.
I'm hoping I'm out of office by then because I really don't want to go there because people are dying.
He knows they don't like him there.
Exactly.
But where can you guys be September 21st to 23rd?
You can be in Flemingsburg, Kentucky at Bards Fest with us and Scott Kesterson and a whole host of amazing speakers. So go to bardsfm.com/BardsFest for all the information. We're going to be camping. We're going to bring the power of God.
Food, fellowship, revival, and we're going to have lots of kids events. And exactly. We just confirmed Dr. Lee Merritt.
We did confirm Dr. Lee Merritt. So we've got a lot and so much more. So keep checking that out on bardsfm.com. We'll
hope to see you there. And if not, we'll be live streaming, I think, even on the Brighteon TV live stream network. So super excited about that. All right, you guys, we love you. God loves you. God bless. Remember, it's not just a conspiracy theory if it's actually the truth. And don't forget to tune into Resistance Chicks all week long on ResistanceChicks.com. Bye, guys. God bless.